Just continue to keep our people in prayer as far as health concerns go. That's always an ongoing battle, I feel like, but the Lord has hands, and He always has those things in His hands, so we're very thankful for that, and that's what He does, right? So before we get started, let's take a moment of silent prayer, and for us, it simply means we can be guided or filled with the Holy Spirit, fully in help. We need our help. And that's one way to do it is by confession of sin. Actually, the only way to do it, we could say. And so we name Him, confess Him, and He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's go ahead and pray. Dear Father, we thank You for this day of grace. We know each and every day is grace. We know it's provided, but we don't necessarily deserve it. Actually, we never deserve it, and we're just thankful for it. We know there's a plan, and we know there's a purpose, and we just pray that we can continue down the path of growing in grace and knowledge of You. And we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are. We've moved along in the book of Exodus, and we've kind of made our way to chapter 14. And I think everybody kind of knows this is the chapter where things kind of culminate and end as far as the Jews getting out of Egypt are concerned. And you can pretty quickly tell, at least from the NASB, what this section of verses is about. It says, at least in mine, it says, Pharaoh in pursuit. So that's a pretty good indicator. Those subtitles are sometimes helpful, I think. And one thing to note here is that the Lord speaks to Moses in verses 2 through 4. He's telling Moses, he's kind of giving him a synopsis of what's about to happen, what's gonna go down, how it's gonna happen, and what he wants to do through these things. So that's verses 2 through 4. He first tells them to turn around and camp in a very specific place. He tells the Jews that where they were going one place, he tells them to turn around and camp here by the water, by the Red Sea. So that's the first thing to note. It's a very specific place called Pi Hahiroth. If anybody's interested in that, you can try saying that 10 times, and I bet you can't make it. And then he gives the reason why he wants them to do that in verses 3 and 4. So let's take a look at that. It says, "For Pharaoh will say of the sons of Israel, they are wandering aimlessly in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Thus I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord," and they did so. So, you ever think, you know, why did God have me go through that? Or why did that happen? You know, some things seem so random. When I thought about this, you know, they were on their way out, right? They were on their way out. He said, "Nope, turn around, and I want you to go camp by the water here." And so their mind state right now isn't in a place where they wanted to detour and take a break and camp by the water, especially since someone is on their tail. So you got to figure they were wondering, why is God making us do this? It sure would have been a lot easier if we could have just booked it straight out, or time in your life, if I could have just went around that issue in my life, or, you know, wouldn't have got introduced into this situation at work and in a relationship. And we all have, right? But I'll tell you, it's the wrong way to think. And the reason why I'm saying that is because that's how the Jews are thinking right now. They're wondering why. They're asking the question why. And we'll see that in the verses coming up. But we can see why it's the wrong way to think, because we have a good example right here in Scripture. Then it says Pharaoh and his servants did exactly what the Lord had prophesied. They had a change of heart toward the Jews and then decided to chase after them. So here we are to verse 6. It says, so he made his chariot ready. This is the Pharaoh. And he took his people with him, and he took 600 select chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. So you see, he has some very well-trained select chariots, and then everyone else is on the rest of the chariots. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he chased after the sons of Israel as the sons of Israel were going out boldly. So they saw them coming after them at this point. They saw them chasing after them. And what do you think they did? Well, you know, they had to get warmed up for the 40 years of wandering in the desert. They had to start here pretty much, I think. And so what did they do? Well, they became fearful. They complained. They blamed Moses. You know, it sounds kind of familiar. Didn't they blame Moses a few other times that we can think of? They accused him of taking them there to die, is what they said. Sounds real familiar. They said, why have you taken us out of Egypt? See how they're going back to, they're reversing back to before. Now, here's verse, go down to verse 11. It says, then they said to Moses, this is them talking to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Verse 12, and this is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. So there's a lot of different ways to say what's going on here. But the bottom line is, all these things can fall into the category of questioning God in the situation in your life, in their lives. We can see it right here. They're pretty much in disarray in their thought process. They're not sure. They're fearful. And they're blaming the leader about where they're at. And you notice they're not thinking rationally. It's funny how we go through a really bad time, may have been involved with really bad people at that time. When you get through it and you hit some adversity and testing, you could almost go wish you were back at that time, even though it was really, really bad. You just don't remember how bad it was because you're not thinking rationally. Sometimes pain in life will make us think about before. We wish we were here, or it'll make us look forward and wish we were out into another place there. Either you know, you're kind of contemplating on where you would like to be versus where you are at that moment. So that's kind of where they are. And I think this should be reminding you what they're saying here of another time they did the exact same thing. Remember the Meribah incident, the water. Didn't they say the same exact thing? And that's when they were already in the desert. Remember, this is before that point. Moses was about to lead them into the desert. And I just wanted to show you this verse because it points out a couple of things I think are good for us to see. It's a few chapters later. It's in verse 17. So they're already out of Egypt. We're going to go back, but I just wanted to jump forward here for a minute just to see they have that same thing that's happening. It says, therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, now here's the key. Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? He's basically calling them out. He's telling them, he's trying to actually help them. He's asking them a question, where are you at in your thinking and why are you directing it towards me, number one? And the second thing is, why are you coaxing the Lord, is a good way to put that, right? And then it says, verse 3, but the people thirsted there for water, and they grumbled against Moses and said, why now have you brought us up from Egypt to kill us? There it is again, and our children and our livestock with thirst. So the word test here is, it means to test or to tempt. And it's that PL stem, which that is, that's the intense version of the verb. Remember that? So this is basically saying that the Jews are barking up the wrong tree. And Moses is trying to let them know to where they're going with this complaining and questioning and grumbling and griping and asking why. Right? He's saying you're testing the Lord. And that's not where they want to be. So he's trying to help them, I think, here. So, of course, this is an intense verb because with a normal person, you know, you can't expect the backlash that you can when we test the Lord. Obviously, this is God himself, right? So you may not always realize it, but when you question or complain, when adversity hits your life, you're not only reversing in the spiritual life, but you are tempting the Lord. It's no different in our personal situations. You know, this is a magnified situation with a group of people, but related to your own personal experiences in life. You know, we're going through the spiritual life. We are expected to live a certain way, expected to perform, expected to live in the filling of the Holy Spirit, under the power of the Holy Spirit, walk in the light, right? And part of that means that we are relying on God in the situation. And so when we question, when we, complain, when we look to get out of the situation for whatever reason in our mind, whether it's forward in the future or back in the past, you're basically coaxing God to respond in divine discipline. And that's what they're essentially doing. They're coaxing God to respond in discipline. That's what Moses is trying to tell them through this word. Now, the problem is that we're not ready for what God is trying to show us. And that's a legitimate thing to see here, because God, as we go through life, he tests us. This is a test. This is an obvious test. Remember, from the get-go, from plague number 1 all the way through 10, who's watching? The Jews. They see. They've been delivered. Over and over, God is continually showing them. He does the same thing with us, by the way. He continually shows us. We look at a problem, it looks like a brick wall. But then when you get on the other side of it, you can look back and say, yes, he did get me through that. And you notice it happens every single time. Every single time, if we don't slow the process up, we can look back and say, God parted those waters through that circumstance of life. We don't even know how he did it because the details just went in that direction, right? So, but this is very clearly linked when we don't remember or don't recognize when something hits like this and we begin to throw our hands up and question. We're basically saying that we're not ready for what God has for us on the other side of that test. That's what the issue is always in the spiritual life. God tests us just like an exam we receive in school. In order to go to the next grade, you pass the exam or you get a decent grade, right? It's no difference in the spiritual life. God needs to know that we can be in a position spiritually to where we can glorify him with the greater blessings that he's trying to get us to. Remember, he's rescuing the Jews. He's redeeming them. He's saving them from slavery. That's a blessing in itself. Now, where are they going? They're going to the promised land. This is only getting better as it does with believers in Jesus Christ, right? It gets better. God wants to give you more blessings in your life to fully enjoy. I said fully enjoy. If we can't fully enjoy a blessing while keeping things in perspective, we're going to fail the test. And really, that's a good thing, if you think about it, because we can't get the blessing if we're not ready for the blessing. We can't glorify God in that situation. We would get off track. You know the story. So I just wanted to point that out, because this is a direct reflection on the capacity in their souls and in our souls when we say, why? Why God? Why me? You know, really those questions, where do they fit in to God's sovereignty? Where do they fit into the plan moving forward and a faithful believer? They don't fit in. They just don't fit into the equation, into that situation, at least coming when I'm speaking to you as Bible-believing, faithful Christians here on a Wednesday night. Those kind of questions are for the less mature, you could say, the believer that is not necessarily focused on what he should be doing or focused on how he should be glorifying God or even thinking about remembering a past time of what God has done in his life. You know? So capacity, briefly, is the ability, this is a very simple definition, but I think it's important. It's the ability to receive and retain. That's what capacity is. And when we're talking about blessings, you want to retain. You want to retain. You notice that when we look at blessings, we only think about receiving. We only think about getting it. We don't think about having it and maintaining it and not getting distracted with it. That is retaining. There's a few different ways to retain. And one of those ways to retain that God is looking for is to retain and still have Him driving the ship. Remember what we talked about on Sunday? God's sovereign control and His authority. Remember, He's in control, but there's also a individual control and a plan for your life. And we have to let Him control in the blessings. It, you know, it's fun to watch God work even in the blessings. We always think we have to take a more active role when these blessings are coming our way. They're about to hit. We just have to hit them full speed. No, we're going to sit back and watch just like we do in the testing. There's a place, there's a calmness there, whether it's adversity, whether it's blessing, that we have to let God work out these details. You notice we always try to jump on the details in the blessings. We've got to make these things align. We've got to get this new opportunity rolling. We've got to jump into it. And we're under a time limit, so we have to hurry up and get it done. See, just because it's a good thing doesn't mean you're ready for it. If it's a test of adversity, you're paying more attention, right? Because it hurts a lot of times. So it keeps us focused on the Word of God, and it keeps us focused in a direction that we can get through the test. But it's funny, when prosperity or blessings hit, we shed those guards off for some reason. But it must be the same. We've got to be very, very careful as we move into the blessing, almost like an alerted sense to us. Just like we get when adversity, before it hits, the calm before the storm, you know, we get that sense of, you know, here we go. I better get my mind right, is what we think, right? Dot my I's and cross my T's. And when it comes to filling of the Holy Spirit, listening to my doctrine, everything we have to get, we want to get right. Same with the blessings. Same exact thing. Because blessings are the harder test to pass, is what they are. Even though they seem easier, they're harder to pass. Because that's when we get lax. That's when we get, you know, you become a little excited maybe. And, you know, that's when the lust patterns start to come out and we just pursue when we shouldn't pursue necessarily. God wants to give, but He also wants you to retain. So we've got to be able to live with it and still function in God's plan for your life. That's what I'm talking about. That's the controlling factor I was referring to on Sunday. We've got to still, nothing should change. You know, you always hear I like watching American Idol. Of course, nowadays they don't really have it. I don't watch it on TV anymore, but you can still keep up with it. And you notice when those people always, when they make it to the end and then the last person wins, they say, well, I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change. And, you know, you still see a lot of country singers or even artists, performers, movie stars that say they're never going to change. That should be our mindset when we get into adversity, prosperity, doesn't matter. the way you function and what you go to for your tools to use for the problems shouldn't change. We should be consistent in those areas in our lives. Back to the basics, right? Filling of the Holy Spirit. We still have a sin nature in those blessings. We could still get distracted in those blessings. And we can still fail that test. Because one thing to keep in mind, what is God doing throughout the whole Exodus scene here that we've been studying? He's pushing them to a better place. And He's going to push you to a better place consistently. He's going to move you in that direction. Now, we can spend 40 years in the desert just like they did. But see, there's a reason for it. They weren't there. They weren't ready. God had to get them ready, and He does it so gracefully. It's amazing that He can send us down this chute instead of this one, and we come out on the other side, and now you're ready to receive whatever He had for you maybe 5 years ago. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just where we are spiritually. We need to be in a different place at that time. So you could say our thoughts and our actions are very clearly linked to your capacity. Very clearly linked. Those things must go together. And just because you have the means to pass the test doesn't guarantee that you will pass the test. It does not. I believe that God doesn't test you beyond your means, right? So you always have the means. You always have the way and the resources on how to get through a problem. Always. But it doesn't mean that we will. It takes something from you. That's where volition comes in, the main place right there. It takes volition on your part to... Really, that's what the spiritual life is about. It's about being obedient. You know, and we can't go through a test without making sure we're doing what God wants us to do. We've got to do that correctly. And, you know, there's a lot of details, but I think we understand the overarching picture. He wants to be glorified. And He wants to put a damper on sin. So, capacity to receive and retain. And really, you will never take the spiritual life serious enough to receive many of the greater blessings that God wants to give you. That's where we are as human beings. You know, we can take it as far as we want. But 99% of the population will never go that distance to see those greater things that God wants to give us. I'm convinced of that. It's not just, you know, you've got to really take it seriously. We can't give it lip service when it comes to God and service to Him in the spiritual way of life. It is very detailed, and it should be something that's so important to us that we not only want to see these greater things, we want to see these greater blessings, but we also want to do the legwork to get to that point in your spiritual life. So many people don't want to do that. I realize it takes work and it takes faithfulness and it takes dedication and it may take a lot more testing on your part, but look what it's doing when you get through the other side. You know, you're being... cleanse throughout this. There's a holiness aspect that comes through the fire, through the testing that cleanses you and makes you better and stronger because you persevered through these things. Remember, endurance. We'll see. We just saw a verse about that at the very beginning of the class. So we want to receive the greater blessings, and really God is waiting on us. But like I said, most people... this isn't important enough for them to receive these things. Now, we're still talking, remember where we are, we're still talking about the sovereignty of God here. Full and total authority and rule over the universe, even the details of life. That's an important point. He has ultimate control, and His plan is always in effect. Now, those words are words of application for us in understanding. If we truly understand the words I just told you, if the Jews truly understand that, we wouldn't see this grumbled here. I can understand, you know, we've all been there. We've all grumbled and said, you know, why, God, this is enough. Why can't you do this, or why don't you do this, or you get the point. But why are we doing that? It's because we're not applying that God is in control. If God was really in control, and He is, but He's got to be in control in your thought process for these things to be passed as a test that God has given you. God has given you. So remember, the questioning aspect just doesn't fit in here. It just doesn't fit in. There must be an understanding in place, and if there's an issue in understanding, well, then we can't place our trust in God and apply His word to the situation. That's where the issues come up. Now, if you can't allow God to control your life in adversity, you'll never let Him control your life in the blessings. Can't do it. Can't do it. If you can't pass the test in the adversity, how can you pass them in prosperity? It's impossible. That's why those things come first. God's trying to, what's the word the scripture uses? Endurance. That's what we need to get on the other side to be able to enjoy. You need endurance. So we've got to let Him lead if we're going to do that. You'll continually expose your lack of capacity if you don't. If we don't let Him continually lead, and what I mean by that is when we pass the test. And if we don't, we'll continue to expose our lack of capacity, which puts us at a disadvantage as far as time and enjoying those blessings that everybody wants. We've got to get to the point in our spiritual life where we can actually handle these things. So a good question is, how do you handle tests in life? How do you handle them? Another thing to notice here is that the reason for God's decision is always for purposes for all parties involved. All parties involved. Sometimes you wonder, what's my part in this? What am I doing here? God has a very specific purpose for every single person personally in the situation. Not only the Egyptians, but also the people, His chosen people, that He is leading and redeeming out of Egypt. What is He doing for the Egyptians? Well, He said, they're going to know that I'm God. And He's going to be honored through that. There's a purpose. It may not be a good purpose, but there's a purpose. And for faithful believers, we have to keep in mind that there is always a purpose of benefit. Always a purpose of benefit. Never forget, just because you're down, just because you're suffering in pain, God is always there for benefit. There's something of a benefit, and there's always blessings on the other side of that. Always. Hands down, all the time. Whether you're in discipline, whether you're about to hit prosperity and you're in testing, always to your benefit. Hopefully we don't need to continually get back on track. God isn't trying to get us back on the path. You know, you're kind of taking a sidestep as far as going to that blessing. But everything that you experience as a Christian, it's always backed by benefit of some kind. So here we see God is rescuing the Jews. But in their mind, there seems to be a detour. How many times have you gone through life and, you know, everything was going fine and there was something happened and it seemed to be a huge detour? This is what's going on right here. You know, this is what God has to do to test, to see if we need or can handle or can advance the way He wants us to advance. And that's what He's doing right here. You know, you think, why is He playing these games? This isn't a game. This is a very serious plan and a purpose for the Egyptians and the Jews together as a whole. Remember, God is working through both of them. His plan is actually unfolding through both of them. That's the sovereignty right part right there. So they're being rescued, but they're saying, what's the detour about? And all of a sudden now they're complaining and they're begging for a demotion. That's what we do when we question and we complain. We're asking God to demote us. It's kind of like, you know, there's a lot of, I remember there's a kind of an attitude in a lot of guys in the military. I'm just going to get to E5 and I'm going to stop. And that's all I want to do because it's not too stressful there. You can take it easy. You have just enough responsibility and not a whole lot. And see, this is the attitude of most Christians. They come to a certain point and they stop. The responsibility, the pressure, something becomes too great and they can't push forward. They don't want the promotion, they don't want the responsibility, and they don't want really the blessings. They may not come and say that, but that's what they're indicating from their lifestyle. The responsibility, the things are too great for them. It may be a little bit of pain and suffering, whatever the case may be. But see, what we're saying is, either we want to be demoted or you want to be promoted. I don't think there's really any in between. You can't just go to E5 and just stop. Because when you go to E5 and just stop, what are you doing? You're reverting in your spiritual life. We never take a break. We always hear this is 24/7 Christian service. And it really is no difference here, and it's no difference in our lives. 24/7. So don't beg God for demotion. So, and God is showing the Egyptians that He is the Lord. That's in verse 14:4. Chapter 14, verse 4. And it says, ultimately, He will be honored in both cases through Pharaoh's army. So they're doing all this complaining. And no, what's funny is, way back in Exodus 3:9, here's what was said. Now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me, talking about the Lord. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. So it was bad back then. And now they say they want to go back to that. Well, the Lord heard them, and He's rescuing them. He's giving them what they wanted, and now you see how our thinking can be so twisted. When we don't apply, we can make bad decisions, very bad decisions that aren't logically even close to where we need to be. Because God is providing, He's rescuing, and that's what they wanted. So sometimes we can make decisions that aren't based on what's really happening and what needs to be happening. And you can see that right here. So, they're basically, they were just crying out to the Lord to be rescued, but now they're acting like they never wanted to be rescued. It doesn't make much sense, does it? But it is interesting to note how easily we forget about how bad the things were, and also forget about how God has worked something out in our lives time and time again. Remember, I just mentioned this, but they have watched God work in their lives every single time. Think about your life. Think about the details. Think about how you go through each day when you wake up, when you go through the day, and when you go to sleep. God is working even in those details, and we need to remember that when it comes to application in our own lives, because sometimes when something, you know, twists us the wrong way, all these things seem to go right out the window. What God has done, nothing is changing on God's side. We're the ones that need to come to that application in our own lives and realize and not forget, like they are right here. Not forget. So another thing to keep in mind is what I already mentioned. God's direction is always towards that blessing. So, and when you think about blessing, there has to be testing along the way. There has to be. There has to be. That's a must in God's plan. That is a must. It's just like in any company. If we need to put you in a certain position, we're going to send you to this training, and this training, so you can be even withstand and even maintain that position. God has to do the same thing. If He wants you to put you in a position to where you can handle whatever you want to handle, whatever's in your mind you see as your blessing, if you really want to get to that or have that or go to that, God wants to make absolutely sure that you can handle it. And He does. Or else, right? He does. Or else it won't work out. Because as you well know, it doesn't work out without God. And we've all tried to say, well, it hadn't got here yet, so I'm going to have it anyways. And every time we do that, it never works out. And that's why I always go back to just waiting. Waiting on the Lord in the circumstances that you're in. So just think about what's going on here. God's plan is moving, going accordingly, moving in that positive direction. Remember, He's rescuing the people. Now all of a sudden they are speaking from a position of fear. And they're not making any sense. I like those shirts that you see every once in a while that say faith over fear. Because it's true. That's a true statement right there. One is going to overtake the other. It's either faith or it's fear. Here we see that fear has overtaken the faith. And that's, isn't that really the issue? Kind of when it comes to even worry, doubt, anxiety, same thing. It's either worry or faith. There's no really in between there, because what we're doing is we're not trusting in God with the details of our lives. It can be overwhelming, but still, it doesn't matter. That's why God puts you there in the first place, because you can handle the overwhelming. You may not give yourself enough credit. You come here, you listen every day on your own, you're a faithful believer. Give yourself a little more credit that you actually retain some of the stuff that you're learning. And you can actually recall it with the help of the Holy Spirit when you need it and where you need it. That's what God is for. He is meant to be used. He wants to be used, and He wants to be exploited. I don't know if that's the correct word, but He wants to be used to the max. And we have to be able to want to be a part of that, right? So, faith over fear. Now, we can either let God drive, or we can drive. You can see the Jews are driving the ship at this point. They're driving. And what's amazing is that they've seen, or they've been shown over and over through the plagues, that God's deliverance is always in effect. His ultimate power and plan will not only move forward, but it has been sparing them from the plagues over and over again. So you would think they'd be convinced from that. But they're not. They're falling apart here. And we can sometimes be the same way. When you look at the Jews here and you see, well, wow, they should know. They should know better. Well, when we get tested, we should know better. And sometimes we fall apart as believers. And you look back on a certain situation, maybe you've gone through it very recently, and we're falling apart. And you think, you've got to look at things differently. There's a divine purpose to what you're going through and what you're experiencing. It's just not all about the pain and suffering. But see, that's where our eyes go when we're experiencing that. You're designed to rely on a greater power than yourself within these circumstances, because we're weak. And so when we do that, what you begin to do is you begin to think differently. And I'm going to say you have to break it down to the basics, because there's not much we can think about. But what is the most important thing, I think, in that kind of situation is getting help. And the only way you can get help is getting rid of these sins. Getting rid of these sins. You know we got a solution for that. This grumbling right here, this complaining, the questioning, the fear that they're going through, we need those things cleaned. We got to have those cleaned. That's the very first step, If you're skipping past that and you're praying, nothing is going to work until you cleansed from all unrighteousness. Nothing. So, and if you don't do that, what happens is you'll continue to blame other people. You'll continue to feel sorry for yourself. And you'll continue to ponder how we should have made a different decision at some part in our life. Those are the kind of things we'll just keep thinking and going over and over, but they're not doing you any good. They're not doing you any good. We're trying to move forward. And when we think things like that, it's really taking away from the plan. It's really taking us on the side and putting us on the sidelines. I like to think of it as we're in a game. You know, either we're playing on the game or we're sitting on the sidelines. That really is what the spiritual life is all about. God wants to use you, but we have to participate. You got to show up, right, to practice like you are now, and you have to want to play. And the only way you want to play is if you stay motivated in the spiritual life in your consistency, and you keep growing and say, you know what, God, this isn't necessarily what I wanted to do or what I wanted to go or where I want to be or who I want to be with or you name it. But you have decided to put me in this situation because you are in ultimate control. And that's what your motivation is not relying and looking at the circumstances and seeing negative things. That's where how we begin to complain and question. Because we're not thinking about the larger divine purpose in God's plan. Take yourself out of it for a minute. You're a growing believer. God is trying to do something through your life. That's big. That is big time. So, you know, when we do those things, we have lost control. When we do all the complaining, blaming others, feeling sorry for ourselves. But you know what? We really never had it. You really never had it. Because most of these things happen as we're going through adversity and we lose, we fall apart, we throw our hands up. Did we ever have it? Well, maybe you did. You could have been doing good until something, the pressure got a little bit too much and then it fell apart. We have to move ourselves from human viewpoint, you've heard that term, to divine viewpoint. You've got to switch that over. You've got to switch that over. That'll beat you up time after time if you're out of the filling of the Holy Spirit and you're thinking from the flesh. It'll beat you up. It'll beat you up. Because what one of the main things you've done in that situation is you've lost your trust in God's abilities. That's the main thing the Christian needs to have in place as you're going through discipline, adversity, testing, no matter what. You have to trust in God's abilities. You have to trust and know that what He says is true and that His Word will provide in that test. That's so important. If we don't know God's in control, we're not applying the Word. That's the bottom line. We've essentially taken control. But remember, God is always in control. God is always in control. It doesn't matter what you do or what you don't do. God doesn't depend on us as believers. We need to focus on applying the Word. God's plan is always moving forward. There's no dependence on a human. Remember, this is the body of Christ, but don't ever reverse the role. We depend on God. That's the main thing. And He is in control. So that's not a good place to be when we're out of fellowship or out of the lost the filling of the Holy Spirit, because in your mind at that point, notice there's no solutions. That's how it gets. There's no solutions. That's how we think. There's none. Do you see how false that is? It's not true, right? We know we have spiritual solutions that God has offered us, but we're thinking with human viewpoint here. So I think it boils down to an understanding of God's desire of the best things for you, and He will continue to do that, and He always has done that. In other words, application for us is that God is always faithful. God is always faithful no matter what. No matter what. And I wanted to look at a few of these verses I pulled out about God being faithful and a few areas that He is faithful. Just to remind us, you know, when we're just like the Jews are going through these experiences where their life is on the line, but they know why they're leaving, but now they're questioning. They're questioning. And we just need to remember these verses, and it's a few of them. God is faithful. Here's a few verses. Of course, you know that one. God is faithful when we are faithless. Still there. He's still there when you're not applying. He's still there when you're complaining. He's still there when you're questioning. No doubt about it. He's still there when you're crying. He's still there when you're depressed. It doesn't matter. He is still there waiting. When this verse, to me, is not really something that we see in the human realm, but as believers in Jesus Christ, we can have towards other people. This is something that we can take on. This is a quality that God has given you the ability to have, I believe. But this is what He has even when we are not faithful. That's 2 Timothy 2:13. And this one's always kind of amazed me. Because you try this with a friend and see if they will continue to be faithful to you. In the human realm, we can never have 100% perfect faith. You can't do it. Doesn't matter who you are, husband, wife, friend, family, I don't care. You can't have 100% faith. That's what this verse is referring to. 100%. This is beyond the human understanding of what faith even is, as far as coming from our understanding. We're in, we're out. Sometimes we're in fellowship, we're out. We trust God at one point, then we don't. This is always. The light switch is always on. The power is always there. God is always waiting on us. But I already mentioned we weren't designed to rely on humans, but on God. And only then, guess what's 100%? Your faith. Because faith travels through faith, doesn't it? In this particular case, God's faithfulness is traveling through your faith. That's 100%. The 100% is coming from that side of the faith. The object of your faith is faithful. So that's how we're able to deal with inconsistencies in human faith. Right here. This verse right here. We don't have to be worried about someone maintaining faithfulness all the time. There's a lead way because we understand the world we live in and we understand what we have in God. Always faithful. Always seeing us through the circumstances. Because human faith is going to be inconsistent in your life. You've got to put these matters in God's hands. He sees the details, including the most important details that you think no one else can see, which are your thoughts. So any unfaithfulness in relationships or business, these are matters for God. These are God's area. This is things that we need to give Him, because this verse is telling us that right now. Our solution is to what? Get bent out of shape. Get jealous, frustrated, angry. It's not our problem, to be honest with you. It's really not our problem. Let God work out the details and the severity of discipline. That's what we need to work out. Here's the next one. God is faithful to not let you be tempted or tested beyond your ability. And I kind of mentioned that, you know, going through this lesson. this word tempted or tested here does mean, it can mean a positive sense of test, and it can also mean to have a negative sense of temptation. That's why I wrote both of them here. Tempted or tested. Usually scripture uses one or the other, but I'll put both there so you can better understand. You know what? That means you can handle it. That's the bottom line. It means you can handle it, whatever it is. The word used is perosmos, and it's translated to endure. We just talked about that word. And listen to this. It literally means to bear up under trouble or difficulty. You can handle it. You can handle it. To bear something for the benefit of another. That's what also the word means. There's always benefit on bearing these loads through life. Here's the third verse. God is faithful to strengthen you and guard you against the evil one. That's important. Don't necessarily always think about the evil one. He doesn't seem to be in your face. But he has helpers that are probably very close and in your face. Strengthen here means to firmly establish, to set, to solidly plant. This is what God does for us. He's faithful to provide that for us. And when I think about this word, I think about a foot planted in the mud or in the dirt with cleats on and not moving. That's what God gives us through His Word. To guard here means to preserve by keeping an eye on. It has the sense of a military guard or a shepherd maintaining uninterrupted vigilance. That's what the word here means, to guard. Uninterrupted vigilance. That's what God is providing us. That's how faithful He is. I mean, you can't even hire somebody to do that. You can pay them as much as you want to pay them, but it's not going to be uninterrupted. They get tired. They got to eat. So you get the point there. Now, I've got quite a few more of these. Well, actually, I've only got four more, but we're up to the hour. So we'll continue these on looking at how the reasons on why or what areas God is faithful in this Sunday. So with that being said, let's pray. Dear Father, we are so thankful to understand a little bit more each day of Your plan for our lives. We thank You so much for the clarity of Scripture, the ability to apply and to look forward to going through things in life that You have specifically planned. It's not a detour. It's not something that we're just doing, just we're wasting time. It's because there's a very, very specific and detailed purpose for it. And we're so thankful to be a part of Your plan, just so we can apply Your truth to the Word. We thank You for these things, and most importantly, we thank You for Jesus Christ, for by grace we have been saved through faith, and it's not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.